you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Judges chapter 9. We're going to begin our reading this morning back in chapter 8, but we're going to be focused on our text, which is chapter 9. But just to review the verses leading up to chapter 9, in Judges 8, 28 and following, we read this. "Thus Midian was subdued before the Israelites and did not raise its head again. During Gideon's lifetime, the land enjoyed peace 40 years. Jerubbaal, son of Joash, went back home to live. He had 70 sons of his own, for he had many wives. His concubine, who lived in Shechem, also bore him a son, whom he named Abimelech. Gideon, son of Joash, died at a good old age and was buried in the tomb of his father Joash in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. No sooner had Gideon died than the Israelites again prostituted themselves to the Baals. They set up Baal-berith as their god and did not remember the Lord their God, who had rescued them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. They also failed to show kindness to the family of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, for all the good things he had done for them. Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal, went to his mother's brothers in Shechem and said to them, and to all his mother's clan, 'Ask all the citizens of Shechem, which is better for you, to have all 70 of Jerubbaal's sons rule over you, or just one man? Remember, I am your flesh and blood.' When the brothers repeated all this to the citizens of Shechem, they were inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, 'He is our brother.' They gave him 70 shekels of silver from the temple of Baal-berith, and Abimelech used it to hire reckless adventurers who became his followers. He went to his father's home in Ophrah and on one stone murdered his 70 brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, escaped by hiding. Then all the citizens of Shechem and Beth Millo gathered beside the great tree at the pillar in Shechem to crown Abimelech king. When Jotham was told about this, he climbed up on the top of Mount Gerizim and shouted to them, 'Listen to me, citizens of Shechem, so that God may listen to you. One day the trees went out to anoint a king for themselves. They said to the olive tree, "Be our king." But the olive tree answered, "Should I give up my oil by which both gods and men are honored to hold sway over the trees?" Next the trees said to the fig tree, "Come, be our king." But the fig tree replied, "Should I give up my fruit so good and sweet to hold sway over the trees?" Then the trees said to the vine, "Come and be our king." But the vine answered, "Should I give up my wine which cheers both gods and men to hold sway over the trees?" Finally, all the trees said to the thorn bush, "Come and be our king." The thorn bush said to the trees, "If you really want to anoint me king over you, come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, then let fire come out of the thorn bush and consume the cedars of Lebanon. Now, if you've acted honorably and in good faith when you made Abimelech king, if you have been fair to Jerubbaal and his family, and if you have treated him as he deserves, and to think that my father fought for you, risked his life to rescue you from the hand of Midian, but today you have revolted against my father's family, murdered his 70 sons on a single stone, and made Abimelech, the son of his slave girl, king over the citizens of Shechem, because he is your brother. If then You have acted honorably and in good faith toward Jerubbaal and his family today. May Abimelech be your joy, and may you be his too. But if you have not, let fire come out from Abimelech and consume you, citizens of Shechem and Beth Millo. And let fire come out from you, citizens of Shechem and Beth Millo, and consume Abimelech. Then Jotham fled, escaping to Beer, and he lived there because he was afraid of his brother Abimelech. After Abimelech had governed Israel 3 years, God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the citizens of Shechem, who acted treacherously against Abimelech. God did this in order that the crime against Jerubbaal's 70 sons, the shedding of their blood, might be avenged on their brother Abimelech and on the citizens of Shechem who had helped him murder his brothers. In opposition to him, these citizens of Shechem set men on the hilltops to ambush and rob everyone who passed by. And this was reported to Abimelech. Now, Gaal, son of Ebed, moved with his brothers into Shechem, and its citizens put their confidence in him. After they had gone out into the fields and gathered the grapes and trodden them, they held a festival in the temple of their god. While they were eating and drinking, they cursed Abimelech. Then Gaal, son of Ebed, said, "Who is Abimelech and who is Shechem that we should be subject to him? Isn't he Jerubbaal's son? Isn't Zebul his deputy? Serve the men of Hamor, Shechem's father. Why should we serve Abimelech? If only this people were under my command, then I would get rid of him. I would say to Abimelech, call out your whole army." When Zebul, the governor of the city, heard what Gaal, son of Ebed, said, he was very angry. Under cover, he sent messengers to Abimelech saying, "Gaal, son of Ebed, and his brothers have come to Shechem and are stirring up the city against you. Now then, during the night, you and your men should come and lie in wait in the fields. In the morning, at sunrise, advance against the city. When Gaal and his men come out against you, do whatever your hand finds to do." So Abimelech and all his troops set out by night and took up concealed positions near Shechem in four companies. Now Gaal, son of Ebed, had gone out and was standing at the entrance to the city gate just as Abimelech and his soldiers came out from their hiding place. When Gaal saw them, he said to Zebul, "Look, people are coming down from the tops of the mountains." Zebul replied, "You mistake the shadows of the mountains for men." But Gaal spoke up again, "Look, people are coming down from the center of the land, and a company is coming up from the direction of the soothsayer's tree." Then Zebul said to him, "Where is your big talk now? You who said, 'Who is Abimelech that we should be subject to him? Aren't these the men you ridiculed? Go out and fight them.'" So Gaal led out the citizens of Shechem and fought Abimelech. Abimelech chased him, and many fell wounded in the flight, all the way to the entrance to the gate. Abimelech stayed in Arumah, and Zebul drove Gaal and his brothers out from Shechem. The next day, the people of Shechem went out to the fields, and this was reported to Abimelech, so he took his men, divided them into three companies, and set an ambush in the fields. When he saw the people coming out of the city, he rose to attack them. Abimelech and the companies with him rushed forward to a position at the entrance to the city gate. Then two companies rushed upon those in the fields and struck them down. All that day, Abimelech pressed his attack against the city until he had captured it and killed its people. Then he destroyed the city and scattered salt over it. On hearing this, the citizens in the town of Shechem went into the stronghold of the temple of El-Bereth. When Abimelech heard that they had assembled there, he and all his men went up Mount Zalmon. He took an axe and cut off some branches, which he lifted to his shoulders. He ordered the men with him, "Quick, do what you've seen me do." So all the men cut branches and followed Abimelech. They piled them against the stronghold and set it on fire over the people inside. So all the people in the tower of Shechem, about 1,000 men and women, also died. Next, Abimelech went to Thebez and besieged it and captured it. Inside the city, however, was a strong tower to which all the men and women, all the people of the city, fled. They locked themselves in and climbed up on the tower roof. Abimelech went to the tower and stormed it, but as he approached the entrance to the tower to set it on fire, a woman dropped an upper millstone on his head and cracked his skull. Hurriedly, he called to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and kill me so that they can't say a woman killed him." So his servant ran him through, and he died. When the Israelites saw that Abimelech was dead, they went home. Thus God repaid the wickedness that Abimelech had done to his father by murdering his 70 sons. God also made the men of Shechem pay for all their wickedness. The curse of Jotham, son of Jerubbaal, came on them. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and He's holding out His hand.
Well, that's not a very happy chapter. And it does come to a resolution at the end, but it's not exactly like a feel-good story. This is kind of like watching the news, you know? Not a happy report. A lot of bloodshed, a lot of bad stuff happening. Why? Well, this is exactly what God promises will happen if people turn away from Him. When people reject the God who is God, they inevitably are on the road that leads to destruction. There's not an alternate path that ends well. A lot of people nowadays, including some who claim to be Christian but aren't, suggest that all religions basically are the same and all roads lead to God. Well, there's one religion that is an exception to that. They're right about all the others. All the others do lead to the same place. But the place that all the others lead to is hell. God promises that all who come to Him through faith in Jesus will be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But anybody who doesn't accept the Son, read John chapter 3. Anybody who doesn't, the wrath of God abides on him. Well, there are people who just don't like to think about God's wrath and certainly don't want to talk about God's wrath because to do so is bad for sales. Okay? Lots of crowds will scatter if you say that. Lots of people will just be turned off. There are all kinds of young people who just turn away from these old doctrines of a God who would pour out His wrath on sinful men. In fact, they turn away from a God who would pour out His wrath on His Son in order to save those who believe. That's an intolerable, horrible view of God, they say. It's not up for a vote. God doesn't say, what kind of God would you like me to be? I'll do my best to oblige. God isn't running for office. God is God. And God, who is God, warns that if you sin, the penalty is death. What should amaze us is never the idea of God's wrath. What should amaze us is the message of his salvation, that Christ died to save sinners. That's the amazing story. So here in this passage, there are a number of details that I believe are instructive for us. Abimelech is the major character in this chapter. But he's not one of the judges. He's not one of the deliverers. There are various deliverers introduced through the book of Judges. Abimelech is not one. He was a ruler, but he was a destroyer, not one who built things up. And so, who is this guy? Well, first of all, his name means my father is king. My father is king. Now look back in chapter 8 again at verse 22. The Israelites said to Gideon, rule over us, you, your son, and your grandson, because you have saved us out of the hand of Midian. But Gideon told them, I will not rule over you, nor will my son rule over you. The Lord will rule over you. On that occasion, in that moment, Gideon answered well. He said, it's the Lord who rescued you, and he should be your king. But Gideon, over the years, apparently allowed people to think of him as a king. And he allowed himself to believe his own press. He began to see himself that way because he named his son, the son of a slave girl, the son of a Canaanite, the son of a woman that Gideon shouldn't have been with. He named their child, my father is the king. Imagine growing up as that boy. We read that Gideon had 70 sons, and then there was that other boy, the son of his concubine. The 70 sons lived in Ophrah. They lived in their father's property. They were his sons, the sons of the great Jerubbaal. And then there was Abimelech. Abimelech was half Israelite and half not Israelite. And he had to decide who he believed he was. I'm going to tell you something, and hopefully I'll say it again before we're done. Who you believe you are is going to shape what you do. Who you believe you are, your identity, is going to shape what you do. We live in a culture right now that encourages many people to find their identity in what they do. Instead of letting what they do flow out of who they are, they decide who they are based on what they do. And so identity is found in people's occupation, or increasingly in certain segments of our culture, it's found in what's termed lifestyle. And that's why when you try and tell some people today in our culture that what you're doing is a sin, their response is, how can you say that? This is who I am. They've defined their identity based on their behavior. Anytime you do that, you've got things upside down. You are headed in the wrong direction. You are on the broad road that leads to destruction. Abimelech chose as his identity to identify with the people of Shechem. Because after all, he was half Canaanite. He was half one of them. And so he said to his mother's brothers, "You're my family. I'm one of you. I want you to spread the message in town. Wouldn't it be better to have me rule over you than to have the 70 sons of Jerubbaal? You see, this guy whose father is the king, and now his dad, wanted to be the king. He wanted to be the boss. He wanted to be number one. But there were these 70 guys in his way, 70 rivals for the throne, if you will. And there's no hint in the text that one of them was emerging saying, I'll take up dad's mantle, I'll be the next one. Instead, he says, do you want all 70 of them to be in charge of you? Wouldn't it be better just to have one king? I'm one of you. Let me be your ruler. It was a populist message. He appeals to the people and he says, come on, I'm one of you. Let me represent you. Let me be your ruler. And they thought about it and said, well, he is one of us. Identity politics, way back here in the book of Judges. He's one of us. Yeah. Yeah. So they took money from the demon temple, gave it to Abimelech, and Abimelech used it to hire a paramilitary force. And that group went with him to his father's house and murdered the sons of Gideon. They didn't do it in some kind of warfare. They rounded them up and offered them in a religious ceremony as human sacrifice, killing them one after another, after another, after another, after another, on a single stone. This was execution. This was demonic worship. And then he was installed as king. One of the 70 had escaped. Jotham goes to the top of a nearby hill and calls down to the inauguration, to the coronation. And he says, listen to me so that God may listen to you. And he tells them a story about the trees trying to find one ruler. And all of the valuable trees and even the valuable vine says, I don't want that job. One of the problems we have in this country is that, you know, we don't like those who are in office, but the people we wish would be in office aren't willing to run for office because it is costly to be in leadership. Every one of these other trees said, I don't want to give up what I've got in order to rule over you. Well, they finally exhaust their options, and they say to the thorn bush, would you be our king?
Folks, that's all the time we have for today, but we hope you're enjoying this message, and we hope you'll be sure to tune in next time, when Lord willing, we'll bring you the conclusion. You don't want to miss it. Meanwhile, please pray for us, and consider making a contribution that will support us in this ministry. For more information and to access ministry resources, we'd love for you to call us at 866-41-ABIDE, or you can visit our website, pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.